Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour two of the early line on a Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Donnie Wrightside. We begin on the ice, Stanley Cup Finals. Game number one, Donnie. Game number one, you brought the juice.
Yeah.
Little Viva Las Vegas SGP. And I got to start with this right here. If I remember correctly, that parlay, March or so to score and a goal to happen within the first 10 minutes. So then I saw... You know, I go to the little box score and said that there was a goal, you know, at 9:40. And I went, wait, did Donnie just lie? And the parlay did not hit? But then I remember that the scoring is backwards when it comes to hockey. And I then once again hated this entire sport. But a shout out to you and a shout out to the Knights for getting the job done.
It's a great point you bring up because I was up and I tweeted right out at you when I realized that I had won by the second period as I was going through. But I did this exact same thing because it was right on that line because sometimes, hey, they scored at 17:52 with the first period. Like, what does that actually mean? I actually had to go by the play-by-play to see opening face-off and, like, go backwards there. I'm like, whoa, seconds to spare. That one actually cashes in. Yeah. But you're right. Only some – it'd be like Major League Baseball. Like, hey, by the way, how'd you do in the first five? Before six and the two-thirds. In he's like, wait a second, which way does that actually go? That's what hockey does to you. But that was a victory, and I guess that's all that matters.
And that is all that matters. But also, come on, it's all good. Vegas, though, they win 5-2, and just to quickly set it up here, a -240 favorite to now win the Stanley Cup final. But because these odds were so tight, we've talked about the nature of kind of odds shifting on results within the NBA so often. If Florida does grab game two, I do think they could flip to favorites. Now, again, not massively, right? We're talking -125 range here, but that would still be my expectation that whoever has home ice in this series will be favored to win this series.
You would think so. We had George Kurtz on Friday talking a little bit of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals and how it's going to lay out. And he told us that, you know, home ice is probably a lot less to your advantage in hockey than any other sport out here. So I do take that with a little bit of knowledge moving forward. But I think you're correct here of how close it started out. If it is 1-1 and you do have home ice advantage, you should be a slight favorite at that point here. I do believe that's going to be the case if that happens.
The other thing I wanted to update quickly is just the Conn Smythe odds there. New favorite now, Jack Eichel overtakes Bobrovsky. Yeah. I mean, come on now, nailed
Man,
it, right?
Good stuff.
Right? Here's the thing, though. You then got Marchessault, Aiden Hill, Kachuk's back to 6-1 there. So all of a sudden now, the Golden Knights kind of starting to get far more involved in the odds, which is relevant. But that is also where hockey is... much different because it's supposed to be for the entirety of the postseason. But is that what we're, because if that's the case here, then shouldn't it be clearer at this point kind of who the star is? Like if they were going to do the same thing in the NBA, then we wouldn't have had an hour one conversation of Bam Adebayo versus Jimmy Butler. Because while Bam has been better in two games, Jimmy has been significantly better here. It's just interesting to me, Donnie, how still unclear those races are between the players for the Conn Smythe Trophy.
And one of those sports, Kevin, that, again, it's based on the totality of the postseason. They don't have any issues even giving it to a player on the losing team. I remember growing up as a youngster here, Wayne Gretzky's, you know, Edmonton Oilers beat the Philadelphia Flyers in seven games where you figured like Gretzky, Messier, Curry, one of those guys was actually going to get it. Ron Hextall, the Flyers goalie, from a losing perspective, won the Conn Smythe for best player in the playoffs. Wow.
I wonder if that's just because he got to watch, you know, Gretzky out there being great. Let's get the radio audience in here on a Monday morning. Early lines, SiriusXM, channel 159. And let's really get the people what they want because it's game two. It's minus 138 money line here for Vegas. Total for the game is 5.5. The same game parlay. I'm pretending that I get credit for what Donnie did here. We're up units, baby. Hockey, guys. Yeah. Let's do it again here. Same game parlays. All right, splash this thing, Donnie.
Now, look, already, and everybody knows, I don't think I've lost a hockey bet since I've been here at the Sports Grid Network. And we're going to keep that streak alive as we get going tonight in our same game parlay. Just two legs here, Kevin, is all I need. Now, how about this? We're using a little reverse psychology here. Look at what this is called, the Vegas hangover. So what's that usually mean? You know, go on vacation out there, you're not out there. You lose a lot of money in the slot machines, on the tables. You bet football, you bet baseball. Nothing is going your way, and you're drinking a lot. Like, oh, man, I'm getting sent home broke, which typically would mean, Kevin, that the hockey team goes out there from Florida, has a Vegas hangover, and goes down 0-2. Not the case here. The Vegas hangover is going to be on Las Vegas themselves, Kevin, because what you're not supposed to do, this is what Vegas did. They go out on the strip, they party it up, they live it up, they get bent all weekend long with their 1-0 lead, and the Florida Panthers come in and steal it. Why? Moneyline. I'm going to take them at a plus 115 price. Kachuk to get an anytime goal scorer tonight at a plus 160 price. That's a plus 314 when it all adds up here. As Vegas, they're going to party when Florida's locked in, Kevin. Let's go.
All right. I respect the move there. I mean, nothing better than using reverse psychology on an SGP. Sure. Mine right here, free hockey. Yes, overtime, under 5.5 goals, plus 642. I mean, is that big enough for you there, Donnie, plus 642 here? A little free hockey, same game parlay.
I mean, free day for you tomorrow. Apparently, you're off again, so everything's free in your life. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's because I worked this weekend, pal. Did you watch any BATR?
A lot of free time. A lot of free time.
Did you watch any BATR? Yeah, I didn't think so. NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Sports Grid, shifting over to the NFL as we do have some news right now circulating in the NFL around Dalvin Cook, Donnie, and that's obviously a big-time name here. But before we get to that, I do want to hit people off with what was the bit of breaking news we did see this morning, which was the Buffalo Bills adding to their defensive line. We mentioned that they had extended Ed Oliver over the weekend. Well, they've now added to the mix here Leonard Floyd as they look to strengthen their defensive line. And we know how important that is, not only just in the AFC, but that AFC East overall. Another nice move here for the Buffalo Bills.
Formidable front line. That's what you need here. If you're the Buffalo Bills, what's the best way to get pressure on a quarterback? Organic pressure, Kevin, from the front floor. Miller, Jones, Oliver, and Floyd. That's a top five, top 10 pass rushing force there across those first four. I like what the Buffalo Bills are doing here. That's exactly what you need. Some of those unheralded moves to try to help you in that sort of like post-free agent flurry. Good move there for the Buffalo Bills.
And the Buffalo Bills, though, potentially not done because, when you're the Buffalo Bills, the expectation is you're never done. Could the Bills look to add to their backfield? Maybe. Uh-oh. Dalvin Cook could possibly be an option. Before we get to the landing spots, though, Dalvin Cook is seemingly going to be released by the Minnesota Vikings here. All signs are pointing to it as this team wants to build around the Alexander Mattison outlook there and allow him to be the guy. It's a bit of a surprising move, I guess, just because of, you know, Dalvin Cook is still someone we expect so much from, I feel like, when he puts on the Minnesota purple. But clearly, this team ready to make a change here, and it seems inevitable that Dalvin Cook will become a free agent.
Yeah, it looks like it's basically a formality at this point. Say, how could that be? He's only 27 years old, one of the more dynamic runners in the NFL. And actually, he didn't really collapse the past couple years, Kevin. 1,500 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,200 yards, basically, is what he had the past 3 years. But running back position is a premium. And sometimes these NFL teams look and say, well, how much are we spending at running back? Do we have a capable guy making much less behind him? And that's the way sometimes things work out. But if you're looking, and we're going to look to see where Dalvin Cook ends up, this could be a hidden gem, because if he doesn't have to be the guy that touches the football 260-plus times per year, and you can get him around that 200 range and keep him healthy, what football team is not going to want him? And also, Kevin, 27 years old, yes, you're not going to have to pay for him. This is the 1980s where a free agent running back hits the market and you make him the highest paid player on your team. He's going to come relatively cheap here.
Yeah, here's the one thing, though, I do want to make sure is understood. The Cowboys moved on from Zeke, right? And I was like, okay, well, Tony Pollard's better. Alexander Mattison is by no stretch argument, conversation, better than Dalvin Cook. That is not a thing at all. This is a money move. And I get it. I get money moves happen all the time, Donnie. But isn't Minnesota supposed to go out there and try and win the NFC North again? Isn't that supposed to be the expectation for the Vikings? And again, you can say, well, look, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be fine. You step up Alexander. I don't know, man. Dalvin Cook has been very important to this football team for years now. Dalvin Cook, again, just simple efficiency, because this is usually where, like, I'm not going to tell you, oh, he had another 1,000 yards. 4.4 per carry. Madison, 3.8. Year before that, Dalvin Cook, 4.7 per carry. Madison, 3.7. They are not turning the football over here in Minnesota to a better back. Make no mistake, they are getting worse once this is all finalized here.
Yeah, it's you know, the turning of the tide here. You're trying to get that coach in there with his guys technically at this point, but you're also down Thielen. Now you're going to be down Cook. This is a big mass change over here for the Minnesota Vikings coming up, and you're right about this, Kevin. Should this be one of these years that you say to yourself, like, well, look at this. Finally, we don't have to go ahead and butt our heads with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and a dominant franchise out there. We're going to be contending with the Detroit Lions, who, yes, we think they have a very impressive roster and should be fun this year to watch maybe make a playoff run. But if you're Minnesota, it's like, oh, boy, we're really going to split it up now in our legitimate chance that we can actually win this division if we keep it together. Not the case now.
That bit of it, I do think, is a bit odd. And again, right now, a lot of people kind of putting an eye, I think, in terms of Dalvin Cook landing spots. The Miami Dolphins, we're hearing a ton about. I feel like everybody in the AFC East is going to be mentioned. Other than New England, I guess. Because they're just kind of there, and they're going to keep going with Mac Jones. But Buffalo feels like a team that's connected to any big-name free agents. The Jets have been kind of that spot all year long, or all offseason long, I should say. But the Dolphins do seem to be a pretty clear favorite, I would say, right now, to bring in Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, and if we're looking at the, you know, AFC East, and also it's a factor of the matter of do we want to pay him a little bit more money just to keep him off the other team in our division and he can help us as well? That'll play into it. But I'm going to ask this question now. If he goes to Miami Dolphins, I love that move. If he goes to the Buffalo Bills, it's great. If he goes to the Jets, certainly. He's a very good player. But just keep him off the Buffalo Bills. Because hear me out, Kevin. Sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, if things aren't going my way, maybe a fantasy update where I need Dalvin Cook to score a touchdown, or if I need, you know, him to get a certain amount of yards, or just anything. Cook scores a touchdown on the Buffalo Bills. Awesome. Wait a second. Which Cook are we actually talking about here? Is that James Cook, who's actually number four, and Dalvin Cook, who is number four, who probably wants to be number four on his new roster here? I'm not saying that. It's like, hey, Donnie, come on. You can't do this to yourself and say, you know, you can't have Dalvin Cook on the Bills because he's the same name as another. But yes, I can. Trust me. I don't want to live that life where it's like, ooh, yeah, ooh, no. Come on, stop the madness here. I don't need that in my life. Send them down to Miami. Let's all be happy.
Just so you know what? I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all, actually.
You can't have it. MVP race could be shifted right there, Kevin. Dalvin Cook should have been the MVP. Oh, no. People voted for James Cook. It's going to happen. Don't do it.
You know, I'll tell you this. He's off my card for offensive player of the year.
See?
I'll tell you that much. So I just absolutely has to be the case. Can I bring up, though, like the most forgotten thing of the NFL offseason, and understandably so? Ezekiel Elliott is still a free agent. Like, I get it, but it's still Zeke.
Yes.
This is what I don't understand, Donnie. And again, so I don't know what those, obviously, we don't know what those conversations are like, and I'm sure you're going to now fill in the blanks of how these conversations are going there, but Are you telling me, like, Zeke still can play football? Like, he should still have no issue getting work here in the league.
Now, which version do you want first? The actual correct version where I'm being a smart analyst, or do you want my personal, you know, fun version of this? You can have, take it to which one's going to be first here. Which one?
I want the fun version first.
All right, the fun version, yeah. He showed up in Cincinnati. You know, they're asking him to say, hey, you know what? Do you want to take a couple handoffs here from Joe Burrow? I'm not going to do that. Well, they can't sign him at this point, right? That's probably what's going on behind the scenes. But really what's going on behind the scenes is, why would he be so quick to sign with the team, Kevin? Unless he's sitting out there going, I want 5 years and $35 million with 20 guaranteed, right? He's not asking for that. But why would you commit to a deal with another organization at the veteran minimum at this time? Wait it out through the summer here. You're going to get a veteran minimum from somebody. You don't have to go through training camp and all. Also, maybe somebody does get injured and you can up your price ante just a little bit here. That's really what's going on outside of Zeke refuses to work out for other teams after a steak dinner. So there's that.
Which, I mean, I feel like the Zeke steak dinner joke, though, has a number of layers that you could kind of spin forward there. The thing with Zeke, right? So again, so Dalvin Cook, people worry about injuries, even though he played all 17 last season. Like Dalvin's a money thing. Zeke has been passed by because Zeke is no longer really all that good. I mean, if you look, Donnie, Zeke's last four games, 1.9 per carry, 1.3 per carry, 2.1 per carry, 2.6 per carry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done. He's a goal line back, right? Like, that's what Zeke is. Zeke is to give a guy a spell. He's not a clear-cut answer anymore. I wonder if there's any like contract stuff here where he thinks that there's like a big dollar sign coming his way.
Yeah, he's the change of pace. Yeah, say he's a good change of pace back. Yeah, change of pace if you don't want to move the chains at this point, right?
My favorite thing Zeke ever did, though, was put out the list of teams that he wanted to sign with, and then immediately the Eagles said, we have no interest in signing Ezekiel Elliott there. It's like, none of those teams actually wanted Zeke. He's like, look, here's my list of teams I'm joining. Tell them to call me. And they're like, well, none of us are interested, dude. And he's like, well, all right, I'll wait then. Major League Baseball preview is going to take us home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball, baseball, baseball. It is that time on the calendar where Major League Baseball steps up and in. And we've got the Rays and the Red Sox opening this slate up here with some 4 o'clock East Coast baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays are road favorites because they are going to be throwing Shane McClanahan, who is right now the AL Cy Young favorite, at plus 360. Game odds here. See the Rays slotting in right now. Above minus 160. The total for the baseball game, though, is a 9, Donnie, which is maybe a bit higher than I would have thought in a McClanahan start.
Yeah, and also you're trying to say, like, it's June the 5th. So, hey, Boston, we should be heating up this time of year, mid-afternoon. What gives today? Yeah, what gives is 60 degrees, Kevin, and a wind blowing in at double digits from the Green Monster in left field. Now, granted, is it going to make all that big of a difference? Probably not, but it's not helpful, right? It's not 85 degrees with the wind blowing out, which would help. Now, if we're trying to take a look and see what makes sense here for the Rays, well, McClanahan has been very good, but if we take the splits here, his xFIP is actually average, Kevin, just over a 4. But if you look at those splits ISO power numbers between lefties and righties over the past 30 days, how about this, an 0.63, Kevin, to lefties, a 1.38 to the righties. Now, granted, if you're lining up this roster, it's a very good mix on the Boston Red Sox of lefty and righty batters. And there's some guys with some elevated numbers and have hit left-handed pitching very well. Look at Justin Turner, 503 weighted on base percentage. Take a look at Rev Snyder, 531. Devers, 452. Yoshida, 371. Reyes, 440. Hernandez, 325. So it's going to be one of those where McClanahan, one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball, we'll see how he navigates this lineup. But if we flip it over to Tampa Bay, you can always trust this lineup. Now, granted, going up against right-handed pitching, what we saw maybe 15 to 20 days ago, not exactly what we're seeing now, but how could it be, Kevin? 8 of 9 batters every single night would look like they were Babe Ruth at the plate for Tampa Bay. Cool down just a little bit, but here's where you want to get in. If you're looking at RBI props tonight going up against Bello, he's got some solid xFIP splits here, decent strikeout pitcher, absolutely filthy. He's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, going up against right-handed batters. But here's where you might be able to get yourself in here. 40 batters he's faced from the left-hand side over the past 30 days, a 391 and weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 286. So the lefties that you're probably going to want to take a look at today is going to be Lau, a 250 ISO power number going up against right-handed pitching, and also looks like Mejia in that lineup as well. So there's two guys you might want to take a look at, but outside of that, I actually agree with an under in this spot here. I really do.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with Bello. Bello's ERA has dropped at the end of every single one of his starts. He gave up 5 earned runs in just 2 2/3 innings of work in his opening game against the Angels. He has not given up more than 3 runs since that. In fact, he gave up 3 runs the next start, and everything's been 2 or less. He has been really, really good, and McClanahan, of course, has been special. He's given up 2 earned runs or less in all but one of his starts this season in the month of May, 7 or more strikeouts in 5 out of 6. So it does make sense. This looks like a very strong pitching matchup that you have here. It does also stand out to me, and again, I try and make this point for people about the Tampa Bay numbers. And this is why the numbers that Donnie provides here on a daily basis are so important, in that season long, the whole team is making the All-Star game, right? But over the last 30 days, a couple of them naturally have to come back to the pack. Obviously, this team was not going to rip off the 162-0 season that they were flirting with, it felt like, for just a couple of weeks' time there. As we move forward on this baseball board here, it's the Tigers and the Phillies that are next. Aaron Nola has the ball. And Aaron Nola's really been a mixed bag to start this season. But you got a strong price here at minus 230 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total for this game is 8.5.
Not a great look here for the Philadelphia Phillies lineup, and maybe they start to bust out of it. Had a couple nice hits, a couple certainly home runs there out of Kyle Schwarber. But if we're looking for the totality of just the past 30 days, the Phillies don't really match up all that well with left-handed pitching. But having said that, if you're looking at that lineup, JT Realmuto, a 320 ISO power number, 380 weighted on base percentage. That's your RBI guy in the middle of that lineup. But if we take a look at Joey Wentz here, 4.50 xFIP over the past 30 days. But the problem is, Kevin, everybody hits this guy. Lefty's a 414 weighted on base percentage. Righty's a 408. ISO power numbers that are elevated here as well. It's one of those where you're saying, okay, the Phillies have come off a couple days here at getting their bat on the baseball. They should be able to come home in Citizens Bank Ballpark and do the same. But it's going to have to take a little bit of that leap because, as I said, not a lot of good-looking hitters in the Philadelphia Phillies lineup tonight against left-handed pitching. But flip it over to Aaron Nola. He's been very good, Kevin, right-handed pitcher against left-handed batters. But against right-handed batters, he's gotten shelled. A 379 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 343. But McKinstry is a lefty. He's got a 365 weighted on base percentage over the past month of going up against right-handed pitching. Badu, a 400. Everybody else woefully under the weighted on base percentage number. Aaron Nola should be able to bounce back. Here's what the trust is, right, Kevin? Nola hasn't been great. I expect him to be better against a bad lineup today. And also on the flip side, Wentz is a bad pitcher against the Phillies who haven't really hit all that well. I expect them to wake up. That's where you lean into it in this one, where you try to take some chances and say the Phillies should have the better lineup, should have the better pitcher on the mound tonight.
Right. The one thing I will say here, this is another thing that we don't talk a lot about with baseball because it's such a money line sport, right? So you don't get as much kind of, trends and who covers what because it's all so right there in front of your face. But run lines are a real thing. When you get a favorite of minus 230, a lot of people think, well, let me go lay the run line. Just to give you an idea, though, this Phillies team has been atrocious on the run line as a home favorite. 5-16 on the run line as a home favorite. And they're 11-10 as a home favorite just straight up. So they've been losing a bunch of those games there. But it goes to show. Now, again, every game does have a run line. To keep that in mind, whether you're a minus 120 favorite or a minus 220 favorite. So that can obviously, create some of the environment there. But just to give people an idea. Also, shout out to the Royals. 1-11 as a home favorite on the run line there. Mm-hmm. Just shout out to the Royals. Always doing what they can for the people. We do have coming up next year those same Kansas City Royals, Miami Marlins. An interesting matchup here that does see Miami at about minus 160 on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Do you think the Royals have any juice today in South Beach?
I don't know if they have any juice, but I don't know if either one of these teams is going to have all that much juice at the plate. Mayer's here, 3.87 xFIP number over the past 30 days. He's faced about 50 batters here. He's done well against right-handed batters here. He's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. How about this? 167 weighted on base percentage, ISO of a zero. Lefty's ISO power numbers are 143. Now, you're starting to see this lineup wake up here, at least at the top here, for the Miami Marlins. Arise has been absolutely sensational at the plate since coming over from Minnesota. His weighted on base percentage against righties over the past month of 359. Jorge Soler, a 355 weighted on base percentage. Brian De La Cruz, who I've rode over the weekend quite a bit here, a 382 weighted on base percentage. And how about this? Sanchez, a 509 weighted on base percentage. So this team lining up, doing some damage here. And those first five guys, maybe that's a way to look at it. But if we're flipping over to Kansas City and how their bats line up, Garrett's been good, Kevin. 3.09 xFIP number over the past 30 days. K percentage, close to 30%. And we're talking about 100 plus batters that he's faced. Weighted on base percentage to lefties, 204 to righties, a 273. Big ballpark down there in Miami. Maybe we're looking more for an under than these bats to wake up on both sides.
Just want to check in. Who are the starting pitchers you had for this game?
I have Mayers showing up here, which means that we might get a, let me just double check to see what we have. Hernandez and Garrett are also listed. So we might have I haven't checked the split line yet. We might have an opener and a long reliever, which is usually what that might mean.
So Hernandez would be the opener, which is the spot that he's been used in. But then it'll get flipped over to Mayers would be that expectation. But, I mean, if you look at Hernandez, the most he's gone this season is two innings at any time.
Yeah, let me just take a – I'll have that up in a second. Yep, there we go. Carlos Hernandez coming in. The long reliever will be Mike Mayers. Yes, correct. There you go.
Now, let me then stop there on that for a second, right?
Yes.
For you, when starting pitchers matter so much to a baseball breakdown – can you still then go in confidently when you're dealing with, okay, I got an inning of Hernandez, three innings of Mayers, and then it's just a whole bunch of bullpen stuff moving forward?
But here's the key about it. What you're expecting is Carlos Hernandez is probably going to go maybe an inning and a half. So you can almost factor that in as the bullpen's coming in anyway into this game. So Mike Mayers, let's just say if he was the true starting pitcher, Kevin, and you think they can get after him. Well, if Mike Mayers comes in and throws five innings of shutout baseball, it didn't matter anyway. If Carlos Hernandez comes in right now and throws, let's just say, an inning and a third and nobody gets on base and Mayer comes in for four innings, that's what you're handicapping it off of here. Because if you thought Mayers was going to go six innings to start, that means he probably pitched a really good game here and you're not going to hit the team total anyway. It's almost a throwaway scenario because you're still expecting to get the same exact amount of time out of that long reliever as you would if he started the game anyway, Kevin. That's your handicap.
Yeah, I mean, listen, whenever you can, if you're the Royals and run out a guy who the last time you saw him blew a save, an inning and a third, four earned runs, I mean, you gotta march that guy.
Get him back out there.
On out there.
Sure.
If you're the Kansas City Royals. I do not want to blow through any game too quickly, especially when the Athletics are on the horizon. So let me just bring up the fact that the Miami Marlins sit here right now as we talk about a National League that is riddled with disappointment, right? The Phillies, the Padres, the Mets, the Cardinals. This Marlins team sits there at 32-28. Teams with more wins. The Braves, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers. That's the list, Donnie. That's the list right now. It's early season still. Yes, they have of course they do. Of course they have the worst run differential in the entire NL East and have the second best record, but that's what they have. Yep. The Marlins are going to now seemingly be in the mix here, it feels like, in this National League race.
Yeah, they'll probably be in the mix until the trade deadline and then give away their best players as they always do and say, hey, we're one of the most profitable franchises in sport. Why do we have to win any games or anybody have to show up at our gate? That's the way they do it.
Well, that's the Jeter's fault, or is he now fully?
Yeah, he set the tone. Derek Jeter set the tone, so he's always going to be the blame.
All right. So maybe, listen, you know what? Hold back. Major League Baseball preview continues right here on The Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here, Major League Baseball continues on The Early Line, and everybody's favorite, The Athletics, they're coming on up here. Oakland, they're throwing Sears. They're a dog, obviously. Pirates at home, about minus 185 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, a lot of these today check in at 8.5. What do you see here with the Athletics?
Yeah, if you're just taking a look at this game in its totality, maybe just take a leap and say, I'm going over the total. Now, granted, the Oakland Athletics typically don't help out all that much, it feels like, at going over the total with their bats. But today, I think there's a legitimate chance. Let's first take a look at the Oakland Athletics, who they're going to be throwing out there. J.P. Sears, 5.63 xFIP over the past 30 days, a K rate of under 20%. Now, granted, it's a left-handed pitcher. He does well against left-handed batters. So why do you want to throw that out the window? Looks like we're going to have one left-handed batter in the lineup today for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's going to be Marcano, and he hasn't done any damage against lefties anyway. So you want to focus in on those eight right-handed batters and how Sears handles those, because his weighted on base percentage, Kevin, against 89 right-handed batters isn't that bad. It's a 310. It's actually just below average here, which is right where you want to be. But his ISO power number elevated at a 286. So maybe those right-handed batters can get some power swings against him on the mound today. Flip it over to the Pittsburgh Pirates here. Oviedo is on the mound today. 5.69 xFIP number for him. Not a great K rate. A little bit too high walk rate. And take a look at this. 355 weighted on base percentage to left-handed batters, which you're probably going to see at least four in the lineup today for the Oakland Athletics. Now, granted, both of these lineups don't look exceptional here, but two bad pitchers on the mound, that usually equates to runs. That's the way we're going to look at it today from the city of Pittsburgh.
So now that J.P. Sears ended up getting what I believe is the most favorable breakdown of any Athletics pitcher that I can remember. Yeah. And I'm sorry to go off track, but I just realized something. Mm-hmm. The Athletics are going to have an all-star, Donnie?
Yes, correct.
Who is going to be the all-star? Is that an obvious answer? That who is the Athletics all-star? Brent Rooker. 11 home runs, 32 RBIs, 256 batting. I mean, come on, that's not the madness. Do they have an elite bullpen arm?
I don't think they have anything. Nothing. They should send the possum that was in like the booth for a while, which they couldn't get out of there, to the All-Star game. I think the fans would have liked that a lot more than, you know, Laureano headed out there.
Now, I believe before that they're in Boston. Before the All-Star game. So whomever it is, will they be able to fly there with Rafael Devers on their plane? Like Paul Blackburn had to travel Astros team plane. Remember that?
Where is the All-Star game this year? Where is it?
No, it's not. Remember when Paul Blackburn made the All-Star game and had to travel with Yordan Alvarez because they weren't going to pay for his flight to the All-Star game?
I mean, they saw a guy with two duffel bags getting onto a Greyhound bus. Hey, brother, come on over this way, man. We're going to take care of you. Well, thank goodness, because he actually had to pay for that Greyhound bus apparently as well. That is tremendous. The Oakland Athletics, one of the more profitable. You could see the Yankees aren't sending their guys on a chartered flight, and the Yankees go, look at all the rent and the salary pay. You should be fine with this. Oakland is one of the most profitable teams in Major League Baseball, but still not taking care of their players. That's pretty good.
It's fantastic. It's exactly what you're looking for here. All right, here we go. Astros, Blue Jays. This should be good because the Toronto Blue Jays are playing some good baseball right now, coming off of their series at Citi Field, where they pulled off a nice and tidy sweep. The Astros did just drop the final game against the Angels, but they took the first three, so they as well are playing good ball here. Alek Manoah is a favorite at home. Alek Manoah has been terrible. Is that what you're going to be looking at here? Look at this total, Donnie. 10.5.
That's really the focal point here. XFIP close to 8 for the last 30 days for Alek Manoah. Strikeout rate, non-existent. Walking, how about this, Kevin? He's walking close to 20% of the batters that he's faced. That's the easiest way to get yourself in trouble, is have constant traffic on the bases, and that's what he's doing to himself. Self-inflicted wounds. But then if you take a look at his splits here, Kevin, right-handed pitcher against lefties over the past 62 batters in 30 days, 416. Weighted on base percentage, ISO of 292. Take a look at the right-handed batters, a 409 weighted on base percentage, an ISO of 242. It's almost like an auto fade every time Manoah is on the mound. But take a look at Belak here. 4.50 xFIP, which is right around average to slightly higher than average. Not a great strikeout pitcher, but the right-handed bats are where you can get to him. And that's what you provide some of that power from the Toronto Blue Jays. A 409 weighted on base percentage, an ISO of 302. Normally you'd say to yourself, boy, they got to get that many runs outside of Colorado. I don't know if it happens, but quite frankly, both of these pitchers should be serving up meatballs tonight up there north of the border.
We love to see that. 10.5, though, again, I feel like
a lot.
Whenever I'm seeing double digits, though, Donnie, it just feels like the games are at Coors these days, right? Like, that's not an environment-based thing at all. That's just bad. That's just bad pitchers checking into the match, pitchers. Or really good lineups. Obviously, you know, that matters as well. But man, that is just strong number out there to see. And again, just considering both teams playing solid baseball coming in, it's not that this is going to be the difference in terms of who wins the American League, but it's a great test for both of these ball clubs here. Brewers Reds comes up next. Man, the NL Central, it looks like it's going to be really one of the more interesting divisions all season long, even if Cincinnati doesn't factor in. But they are favorites against the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, Julio Teheran. What's going on with this guy here, Donnie? I mean, two starts. ERA is a .84. What do we do?
Yeah, he's actually pitched very well in his last two starts. How long is this going to continue? Is this the best found gem here of 2023 and somebody better sign him because he's not going to lose a ball game? I think that might come to an end today because granted how well he's been pitching ERA-wise, Kevin, his xFIP is telling another story, 5.72. Why? Because his K rate is only 12%, which means the ball is getting in play. And also, Kevin, when the ball is in play and his ground ball percentage is only 31%, that means a lot of line drives and a lot of fly balls, which sooner than later will catch up to you. He's been handling right-handed batters, though, Kevin, a 123 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 042. That's sensational. Lefties is a little bit different story, but I like this young Reds lineup starting to come into its own, particular in the middle of that lineup. McClain, India, Fraley, and Steer. 364, 365, 398, and 401 weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching. Maybe today is the day finally that I've been waiting for Julio Teheran to get blown away. But then if you're taking a look here on the opposite side, major league debut for Abbott for Cincinnati. Now, Kevin, doing a little bit of background on him. This isn't one of those 33-year-old guys making his debut because they don't have anybody else to pitch. He's got some decent pedigree coming into this game, some good splits here, and a high draft pick, I believe it was. 2021 is when he came into the minor league system. So it's 2023. That's a rapid ascension through the minors here. So maybe we're looking at a decent start. But again, I won't be looking from that perspective because I really don't know how well he's going to fare. But I do think Teheran finally tonight gets his coming ups here in Major League Baseball for 2023.
Are the Reds trying to win? Why would the Reds like even bring this guy up though? I say that somewhat jokingly, somewhat seriously there though. I just feel like that's not what we expect from baseball. Good on Cincinnati.
Not every Major League Baseball team is going to operate all the time because sometimes it just makes some sense saying, okay, we're in striking distance here. We got a pitcher who's actually pitching really well. Let's see how he handles himself. Because again, just because you bring a guy up once, like, hey, man, we got to pay him $400 million if we bring him up within the first 3 years. That's not the case. Like, he's still going to be like a free agent like 8 years at this point, which is how crazy Major League Baseball is. The only sport, Kevin, I always like to bring up that says the better players come up last because you don't want to pay them. Ridiculous.
Absolutely so, but that's baseball. Rangers Cardinals, baseball. You love to see a Texas Rangers game hit the card here, and it's Martin Perez against Adam Wainwright. Waino's got that ugly surface number, 6.15. Is this a target guy for you today?
This could be a target guy to get after. K rate percentage there, only about 12 or 13% low ground ball percentages here. And also, when you take a look at the lefties in the lineup, which you know the Texas Rangers can stack up against you, Wainwright hasn't handled any business there this season or in the last 30 days. Take a look at these splits here. 62 batters he's faced from the left-hand side over the past 30 days. 454 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 286. And who's waiting for you right in the middle of that lineup? Seager and Lowe. 378 weighted on base percentage, 377. Now, the rest of the lineup doesn't fare as well as the top half, which sometimes is the case here throughout Major League Baseball. Obviously, your second half of your lineup is not as good as your first, but it's one of those where you trust where Wainwright still hasn't gotten it together just yet. But Martin Perez, he's in the sixes as well here, Kevin. XFIP of 6.10, low K rate here. And also, look at the splits. 16 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, which, again, isn't a lot. Usually getting stacked lineups from the right-hand side. He hasn't gotten any of those guys out. A 467 weighted on base percentage. Then you flip it over to the other side. You have a great sample size over the past 30 days. 111 batters he's faced, a 377 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 245. We should get runs today. Both of these pitchers should be susceptible. Let me just do a quick check here of some temperatures. Well, game's going to be down in Texas. We'll see if that roof is open. If it is, that could be an extra little boon there to some runs as well.
Quick question for you. If I'm wrong, then I'm going to move off of this. You've been looking at home road splits a little bit more this season, right?
Some cases, yes. Later, put it this way. Home road splits for me would be a defining factor. Is I don't actually use them, Kevin, to set my card up. But if I have two or three games I'm looking at and I need that one deciding factor, I do look into those, yes.
And I brought it up for this reason, right? So Martin Perez, and again, I know I'm using the raw numbers here, but a home ERA of a 1.93, a road ERA of a 5.53, but eight road starts, three home starts there. The sample sizes aren't the same. Where he gets blown away his next two home starts, and you go, oh, it has nothing to do with home road. He's just bad, right? Where the sample size right now is kind of mixing up the numbers a lot, right?
Yes. And also, when you take a look at those home road splits where they would factor in, Kevin, and again, if you're not taking a look at analytical approaches like XFIP minus, which means it would take into ballpark and league, you know, conditions there, you'd want to say like Colorado is where you'd look. Because every time you say, oh, man, Colorado last 30 days is hammering the baseball. Well, maybe they played 19 home games compared to five road games in that split. Of course, it's going to be higher. So extenuating circumstances always come in. It's like when you say, hey, Martin Perez has been really good outside of Coors where he gave up eight runs. Some of those things you have to look at. But it is a nice factor, home and road splits that you have. So you can use that to your advantage when you want to break a tie, as I like to say.
All right, final game on the slate here. Late night, Padres-Cubs. Blake Snell has the ball here against Kyle Hendricks. Total's 8.5. San Diego's a favorite above minus 160. Blake Snell this season is sitting on a 1-6 record. I bring that up to just kind of, you know, drive home the point of how disappointing San Diego has been that a guy like Blake Snell, and not that he's been great, but still sat there at 1-6 on the season. Padres-Cubs, what do you like?
We'll keep it simple here. You take a look at Snell, he's wildly underperformed here, but how about this? You're going to get a ton of right-handed bats in the lineup. Seven of the nine batters here are going to be plus batters against left-handed pitching over the last 30 days for the Cubs. They're absolutely raking, but here's the issue. Wow. If we're looking at that lineup that's going to be all right-handed batters, look at what Snell, who's a left-handed pitcher, has done to right-handed batters over the past 80 he's faced, Kevin. A 242 weighted on base percentage, an ISO of 090. Who do you trust more? The hot bats raking left-handed pitching or the left-handed pitcher who actually gets right-handed batters out?
That's a fair question. Here's the one thing though, with the Padres. They just don't seem to be trustworthy at all, at all, at all.
No.
Kyle Hendricks, though, is only making start number three here this season. So we'll see kind of how everything holds up for him. And again, I know that that's something that you always tell people. Look, the more numbers you have to work off of, the better, right? You know, Kyle Hendricks is essentially in April, while everybody else is in June. So you got to see kind of the ebbs and flows of those numbers. But it's a packed baseball card. It's game two of the Stanley Cup Final. And those are going to be really be the main events here on a Monday. The NBA Finals aren't back until Wednesday night. So you'll have plenty of time to reset, recalibrate there. But the NBA Finals reappear once again here as Donnie closes out. Listen up here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for a Monday edition of the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Getting after it today, as usual, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. until we hand it over here to the Morning After and Ben Stevens coming up next, which I will be a part of in the first hour, so make sure you stay tuned to that and all of the rest of your Sports Grid programming throughout the day. A lot of interesting topics over the weekend. Baseball, as we know, certainly in full swing at this point. Was living it up on Friday and Saturday with some RBI props, but came to a little bit of a crashing halt yesterday. But today is a new day, and we previewed a great Major League Baseball card. Not an extensive one, but there are some opportunities out here. I do think that we can find some damage. Hockey, game number two tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll see if the Florida Panthers can even that series against the Vegas Golden Knights. Something to keep an eye on. And also, NFL news, it never stops. Where's Dalvin Cook going to wind up? Certainly, wherever he goes, could be a game changer in the backfield for them. But we want to talk about the NBA Finals, which last night was game number two. Listen up. Yes, Miami's vice. Absolutely last night, because if anybody thought the series was over after game number one, which a lot of people did, look at that. Miami Heat certainly can't catch up here to the Denver Nuggets. They're just not as good, and it's really going to play out that way. Well, it didn't. Last time we saw on Thursday, January 1st, to open up the NBA Finals, a 104-93 victory over the Miami Heat, which seems so much easier than just that 11-point win. And how are the Miami Heat going to respond, including Max Strus in game number two, who couldn't hit water out of a boat with three-point shots, was raining down three-pointers in the first quarter, but it only led to a slight lead. Now, granted, once you saw halftime, you had the Denver Nuggets with the lead. Through the third quarter, you had the Denver Nuggets with the lead. But Miami's Heat culture took over in the fourth quarter. Players stepped up, not in that starting lineup like Duncan Robinson. It's just what they do. And Eric Spoelstra, did he find something here? Just let Nikola Jokic go off on the offensive side here. Don't let him get anybody else involved. And you can take down an NBA championship. We'll find out shortly in game number three coming up on Wednesday. But stay tuned to the Morning After and Ben Stevens coming up next right here on The Grid.